Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, He is moving. When we first met the Holy Spirit, He was moving upon the face of the waters. And He never stopped moving, never stopped working, never stops helping us overcome. I was sharing with my wife last night that the Holy Spirit came to guide us into all truth. So whatever He tell you, it's true. And it can be, you can appreciate it and use it immediately. And you can benefit from His vast wisdom. If you can believe God, there's nothing you can't ask Him. He wants you to ask questions. Now, the miserable way of old, a lot of preachers, they taught people not to ask God questions. But that leads to all forms of misery when you don't know. You're trying to obey God, serve God, you can't see Him, and then you have questions and you don't get answers. That's going to interfere with how you trust Him. I promise you it will. When hard things happen, ask. But first of all, know that God is good and that He loves you. Be faithful. If you study Him, when you study the Word, you can study His character. And you know that God is good and the devil's bad. Now Jesus said, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. He represented the Father. He said, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know Him. Now then He also said, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. That's the goal of God. In the beginning, He made everything beautiful, made man, showed him how to live. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. God is good. He gave him the best fruit to eat. He gave him everything you could possibly imagine. He made a garden and gave him an example of how to make the world look. Then, He said, that was one tree. He said, don't eat off this tree. The day you do, you shall surely die. And that's where the trouble started. Because God, Jesus said, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. He wants your life to be full of laughter. I told all my children, don't let anything happen to your laughter. What I told my daughters, I got to tell my son that. Some people can't laugh anymore. God came to give you life and that more abundantly. And it's in Him. If you eat off the tree of life, you'll have what it takes to resist the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. According to the book of Enoch, it was not just a beautiful tree, good looking for fruit. It had a strong, beautiful scent and aroma that came from it, like a flower. Now, God is good. He came to give you life and that more abundantly. Then He said, but the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. Satan comes for one reason. Well, three. Kill, steal, and destroy you. Kill, He come to kill, steal, and destroy. If He's talking to you, He came to murder you. He came to murder your vision. He came to steal your goods. He came to steal your property. And He does it through deception. If you trust Him anywhere, if you love greed, He'll use that greed to get what you have. And he'll subdue your life. With the bait that you swallow, when you swallow His lies, when you hear His words, and you believe Him, it starts a process that gives Satan control over you. Then all the disaster that happened because of your wicked decisions, he blames that on God. He accuses God before you. And then the lustful things steal your appetite for the things of God as it slowly stop giving you satisfaction. They made a movie one time, The Twilight Zone. A man died. Another man came and ushered him around and showed him his house. And he could have whatever he want. He could go and gamble. He always won. He had all the women that he wanted. And he couldn't lose anything. And the man said, well, it got after a while, it was fun. At first it was fun to him. Then it got on his nerves. He said, there's no challenge anymore. Everything I steal, everything I do, I win. He said, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell. I want to go to the other place. And the man said, what made you think you went to heaven? You are in the other place. But the example of the movie was this. When you go down that rabbit hole, the satisfaction of life will leave. You won't be able to be satisfied with anything because you're depending on outer things that's wrong for satisfaction. I live next to, across the street from a crack house, or across the avenue from a crack house. And I've seen this for myself. I know what I'm talking about. People that get on drugs, they get high and they try to find that first high that they, and every time they take drugs, it has more addiction and less satisfaction. That's how Satan operates. And he could, and the more you get into his world, the more control he has over your life. And he calls you to become the enemy of God through your, through lukewarm living, through adulterous living. Now, but Jesus came to give you life and that more abundantly, but it's love-based. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's the opposite. See, lust and greed and pride comes, it forms hate in you. You have to have a leaven of rudeness, a leaven of hatred to cross the line and eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when people have a leaven of hatred, they start crossing the line. They had a love for God, but they start playing with the world. Now Jesus, he warned his disciples to love, to not love the world, because it will cause you to be the enemy of God, ultimately. And it's a slow process. So when people compromise, they become something else that they didn't even know. And they can't tell. That's the other problem. We learned this from the Laodicean church. They were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They couldn't tell their demise until more light comes around. And when more light comes around, just like in yesterday's broadcast, today is November the 10th. Yesterday was November the 9th, of course. 2021. Well, when people are blind, they can't see their condition. We talked about the Laodicean church and how they think that they're right with God and they're corrupted. But when more light comes around, just like in yesterday's broadcast, people get upset, just like the Pharisees did with Jesus. Now, before Jesus came on the scene, the Pharisees were the ones that people looked to be the people of God. Now, there were people that could tell that things were not right, but they didn't know what it was. But they were so corrupt, they hated Jesus. Even Jesus' disciples couldn't tell how evil they were. Jesus would go to the synagogue and teach all the time. It was his custom. But when more light came around, they had a hatred against him. Nicodemus had to come out at night to meet Jesus. He said, "We can tell that you are the Son of God." But he wanted to know more. But his comrades, and that's a good word, his comrades hated Jesus. And he had, that's why he came at night. And I had to reveal yesterday how people... Yesterday's broadcast was called True Reapers. See, God's going to reap this harvest. But he has to go around the corrupt church that have let the darkness in. I want to show you something. This is our Judges chapter 11. Very interesting chapter. Now listen closely. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. See, I'm going to say something here. He wasn't born right. He was born, his father had sex with a harlot, and he was their son. All right? But he became, though his beginnings, you know, his mother was a harlot, he became a mighty man of God anyway, a mighty man of valor anyway. But watch this. And Gilead's wife, now Gilead was a mighty man also. Sometimes people make corrupt steps in the course of their way. And but you know, God being God redeems people from all kind of wickedness. So in other words, don't let the past stop you from going forward in the Lord. I want to say that now. But nevertheless, Gilead was, sometimes people get it right later on in life. He was married. So Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said to him, "Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." All right. Now, I don't know when Jephthah had this harlot in his life, whether it was before he met his wife or after. But it seems to be that evidently he was raised with the sons, and he became a mighty man of valor. Those are two facts that we can get from these scriptures. All right. So whether they were younger or older, it seems like they all looked up to him and was jealous of him. But they didn't want him to inherit in the father's house, so they thrust him out. All right, now watch this. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. This is a natural leader, a man that knows how to make things go. But some men can't do that. They got to work for somebody or they're going to suffer. They can't work for themselves. They don't have what it takes to start their own business, so to speak. They left with him to another city. That shows you that this man's character was strong. He was a natural born leader. And then watch verse 4. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. Now they need him. They need a real leader to deal with this. And they knew that they were not qualified. Whatever pride they had, they got rid of that, and they knew where to go to get some real help. So they went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, "Come, be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon." When you stand to lose everything, if you got good sense, you go get the person that can get you out of your trouble. Now they were desperate. And they came and said, they said unto Jephthah, "Come, be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon." And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, which was his brothers, of course, "Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, "Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, "If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words." Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Now we see where he gets his strength from. He went to the Lord. And then he was wise in everything that he did to win that battle. When you love God, you have a foundation that people that have drifted away don't have. It is noticeable to the point that they don't want you around because you seem to outclass them. Because that foundation, they stopped building on the God foundation, and they started building on sand. Everybody that turned from the Lord, they started building on sand. And then they're sterile to life. They don't, in the sense of they can't produce life, because every tree bears after its type. When they allowed Satan to be their Lord, they became wretched, miserable, spiritually poor, blind because they have deception, and naked. They have no covenant with God. Now, I heard a guy on TV, on Sid Roth's show, I forgot his name, but he said at his meetings, you know, the miracles would happen, and he would teach. Other evangelists and pastors would always sneak in and sit on the back row. They didn't participate in the service. They were taking notes so that they could preach. Obviously, they had no relationship with God anymore. And that one guy, he told him what he was doing. And the man said, "How did you know?" He said, "You're not the only one doing this." See, I want to say something right now. I deal with a lot of things that God deal with me about. Some ministers, pastors, God deal with them with the local church. They are the pastor of the church, and God deal with them according to their parsonage. All right, now, the Lord called me to be an apostle, of course, and he deal with me. I have to deal with global problems. I minister on this broadcast. He showed me things that's going on in the wide world. This is why I have to teach like I do. I'm not trying to tear down somebody else's ministry, but there are wolves out there, according to 2 Peter 2 and Jude. Men that crept in unaware, secretly, while the church was asleep, of course. Because they don't sneak in a living church. But they know where to go to get a message. Now, I want to point some things out. Now, Jephthah continued on. He went to battle with the king of Ammon and won, and he was wise. He was wise in battle. I hate the part about his daughter, but otherwise he was a very wise man. So let's shift gears now. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 8. The Lord loves his people. Now, Jephthah is a prime story. If you were born of a prostitute and your dad was a crack dealer, that doesn't mean that you're counseled out. That doesn't mean that God can't work with you. If you get down to business with God, God will get down to business with you. I got that from Elder James C. Lewis. He was a blessing. that was one message I'll never forget that he preached. Some people, no matter what happened and how their past was all fouled up, God, if you look to the Lord, he can do great wonders. The men of the married wife sought him, and he was born of a harlot. And then they tried to make a king out of him. He said, I will not be your king. See, when he won the battle, they wanted him to be the king. He wouldn't be the king. He had wisdom. He had love for God. He was true. That's why they were jealous against him. Okay. But when they needed him, they knew where to go. Isaiah 8. Now watch this. The Lord told Isaiah, verse 16. Isaiah was dealing with the same problems that we face. The Lord told him to bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob. And will look for him. Now watch verse 18. He said, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion." Now the world is different. Verse 19 says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, instead of God." Then Isaiah said, "Should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead? Are you kidding me? You're going to seek a devil instead of Jesus?" Then he said, "No, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word," verse 20, "it is because there's no light in them." Now watch what happens. and they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth. See, the earth is going to follow what man does. And behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Witchcraft causes war. Murder causes war. Turning your heart from God causes you to turn to Satan, and you're going to become miserable, wretched. You're going to become wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And you're going to make those kind of decisions, which cause the earth to react just like it did when Cain killed Abel out of the same kind of jealousy. You got to watch that Cain jealousy. And people think it's okay to murder innocent babies casually to hide their sin. And they think that the world don't understand judgment. The wicked don't understand judgment. There's a proverb that states that. They think that they can do anything and nothing's going to happen because in their brain there's no God and there's no devil. And Satan don't care if they don't believe in him. If you act on some of his ways, he's your boss. And he'll use the sin in your life to leverage you. So it is with those that turn their heart from God. If you don't stick with the love of God, and some preachers have not, they went after money, greed. See, the Lord told me, he said, I've got people that cannot be controlled with money. I've got people that cannot be controlled with lust and greed and fame. Which means that there are evil men in the government, in every government, that will try to control the message that's going out. Remember the 501c3 problem? If you say something against gays, lesbians, if you attack the homosexual agenda, you lose your tax-free status. That's the government controlling them by money. And a lot of preachers preached it anyway. They preached right anyway. Some of them, they danced around it. They danced around it. That's why they're sitting on the back row trying to get a message. Now, to deal with this, the Lord taught me this. He can't use them anymore. He can't give them revival knowledge. He can't put any more anointing on them because they're corrupt. They're tares now. The lukewarm church are tares. Get over it. When the Lord told me that, I saw it. I kept on asking for it's about 3 months now. I noticed the wording. I said, Jesus said he'll spit them out. He wouldn't spit out his people. I did research. I asked the Lord questions like I always say to do. And last week he said the lukewarm church are tares. That's why they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. God's people are fruitful. They have the ability to be fruitful. They are fruitful. But they can go on and know the Lord and multiply and come to a point that they replenish the earth. Then they subdue it and have dominion. There are a lot of preachers that are billionaires. And I heard they put their money in Swiss banks. Now, I don't want to stand before the Lord having all the wealth and then did nothing with it for God. But lavished myself, bought mansions in different cities and planes and boats and motorcycles and lived it up while people, you know, you can start businesses, you can do things, you can have finance godly movies, all kind of things can be done, studios. But to replenish the earth, and when the Lord taught me the cycle of life, that's the cycle of life: be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. He said most millionaires, they do the first two, they're fruitful and multiply, but they fail to replenish. Because they make a god out of their money like the rich young ruler did. And I'm talking about good people. And I saw that can happen. I don't want that to be me. My purpose is to spread the gospel. It's not to lavish myself. I'm going to live forever in heaven. I'm going to get all I could ever want. Right now, we got to get souls out of here alive. And that's it. That's all I care about. I don't care about all that stupid stuff that people do. They muddy the waters. They seem to give people excuse. And see, the Lord can't use them. He can't pour the anointing on them anymore. That's why Jesus said, many that are first shall be last. Many that are last will be first. And God is, he had to move around them. Isaiah said, the Lord told him, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. That's what he's doing now. He started making a division. He separated the wheat from the tares back in 2012. See, the sheep and goat nation, he separated that. It was the sheep and goat nations. He separated them starting in 2012. That's another story for another day. But he said, look what the wisdom of God, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. God told me things that I had to seal. I can't tell anybody. I'm giving this revelation on this website at God's order. The proud people will not go on my website. That's why he didn't release me to put these things on YouTube yet. Because he wants to give it to you, people that love him, people that care about others. That's where he's going to pour the anointing. And with the anointing, you're going to reap a harvest, a big one. He said, I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob. God is hiding his face from all lukewarm believers. They left the love of God. They left the principles of Jesus. They left their first love. They let Jezebel's spirit get in there. They let the spirit of Balaam get in there, in their heart. Jezebel, Balaam, they love the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now they're lukewarm. They got money because there's no attack against a lukewarm person from Satan. Simple people, he'll seduce them to give them money. He stole it. They got stolen goods. And they suck up money that should be going to God's people. And people pay tithes to these jokers. Who are they? I don't know. You got to ask the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows. And then you go to a real church that preach the gospel. For real. Men that receive fresh manna from on high. They receive their daily bread. They don't have to sneak in the back row and listen to somebody else and steal a message. Look at what Jeremiah said. When the man told me that, I said, I believe every word of that because that the Lord taught me that a long time ago. Now I'm hearing somebody talk about it on national TV, on on Sid Rock. Anyway, Jeremiah 23:30. We got to close. Almost over. Let me get this in. Jeremiah 23:30. Okay. This is the Lord speaking. He said, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets that steal. Verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. God is against these jokers. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yea, I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall you say, every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. These are the false prophets, of course. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. You know, thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have not sent you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you. And the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. Jesus said, the lukewarm church, I will spit them out of my mouth. Same thing. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Study chapter 23. This is very important, folks. Now, last scripture, John. The reason the Lord has given these things is because you love God. If you listen to these broadcasts, you love God and you want to know Him. And God, He loves you. Now, the wolves are out there and they're in operation. Don't be seduced. That's why these broadcasts are being done. They will defile you. If they defile you, you can't be anointed. And your anointing won't work. Now, the same reason that John wrote, I'm saying the same thing. He said, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known them that is from the beginning. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. That's God. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known, you have a reference, you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abide in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Then he said, love not the world. I say that to you. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye.